Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I am your host, Justin Michael. We've got a lot to dive into on this pod. It's been a really good 24 hours to be a Ram. I mean, it's always good to be a Ram, but it feels just a little bit better. That's because we got a couple of massive recruiting wins. CSU football, CSU men's basketball, both of these pieces of news dropped within like 10 minutes of each other, of course. But Armani Winfield, the former four-star wide receiver, has committed to CSU football. And Nicola Jappa, a seven-footer at a Long Island University, he has transferred to CSU men's basketball. We're going to get into all of the information that you need to know. I'll give you guys the background information on both of these players. We'll talk about how they should fit into the mix and all of that fun stuff. Just a minor news dump before we get into everything. The Arizona Bowl, which is obviously one of the Mountain West Bowls, no longer sponsored by Barstool Sports. Instead, it's now sponsored by Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice. According to the press release, it's actually the first bowl to ever partner with an alcohol brand. Here's a quote from it. "We are a little different from all the other bowls. We're not afraid to take risks and do things outside the box," said Kim Adir, the executive director of the Arizona Bowl. "An alcohol brand has always been off the table for us until recently. Everybody in the stadium is drinking a beer or cocktail. It's time for the industry to evolve." Not going to spend a ton of time on this or anything like that, but just a couple of thoughts that come to mind. You know, the bowl sponsors can be a bit of a meme. Partnering with somebody like Snoop Dogg, out of all the celebrities that you could partner with, he's pretty high on that list in terms of just his likability. I mean, he's got to be one of the most beloved celebrities out there. It feels like everybody loves Snoop Dogg. Doesn't matter if you're even into his music or not. He's just got a great personality. He feels like a celebrity that the players would actually want to meet and be associated with. Maybe that's a little bit more of an incentive to play in a game. Obviously, opt-outs are a big problem in the modern bowl landscape. Not saying it's going to make the difference for a first-round pick or anything like that, even if you're going to be like a top 75 pick, probably still not going to be playing in these exhibition games that don't mean a ton. But it could be the difference for somebody. And while I like somebody like Jimmy Kimmel, I got to imagine that a Snoop is a little bit more appealing for the players. That's all I'm saying. Can't imagine a ton of 18, 19-year-olds are staying up for Jimmy Kimmel Live these days. Ultimately, you've got to be willing to be creative in this modern landscape, and I credit the Arizona Bowl for doing some different things these last couple of years. I've been pretty open that I'm not a big Barstool guy. I don't think that would have been like the crowning achievement to play in a game sponsored by them or anything like that. But I respect that the Arizona Bowl has been willing to try some different things these last couple of years and trying to be a little bit more modern. You either evolve or you die. You know, you fall into irrelevancy and the bowl disappears. So I applaud them for trying something new, and we'll see what happens here. I'm sure that there'll be a couple of folks that clutch their pearls about partnering with an alcoholic brand and the sanctity and all that. And to them, I would reply, look into some of the other sponsors. I mean, Lockheed Martin has been a bull sponsor for years and years. Where is the line and where do we draw it when it comes to morality and partnerships and all that kind of stuff? It just seems like a weird thing to get up in arms about. Honestly, I think we'll probably have a dispensary sponsor a bowl game at some point once, you know, the weed laws change on a federal level. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get into the actual things you guys want to hear about. We're going to start with CSU football, then we will talk about Nikola Giappa, the 7-footer from Long Island University that committed to the Rams. I actually broke that news on Twitter just briefly. Normally, my policy is that I am going to allow players to announce their own moves, dictate their own terms, unless they don't want to do it. And, you know, that does happen every now and then. I was given permission to break that one, so just kind of wanted to give some context there. It was a similar deal with Isaiah Assisima when he transferred over to the football team from Nevada. Not everybody has a big social media presence, and honestly, they're probably the smart ones because they're not chronically online and, you know, dealing with all of the chaos and stress that comes with that. All right, let's get into it. Armani Winfield, 6'2", 205-pound transfer wide receiver out of the University of Baylor. He announced that he is coming over to CSU. I had mentioned over the weekend that the Rams were in the mix for him. The staff felt like his visit went good. He went to Wisconsin this past weekend, so you were a little worried that you might get outbid or something like that. I don't have an exact number in terms of what type of NIL he was commanding. Had heard some things in terms of what he was requesting when he came over, but I don't want to speculate. I'm not sure that's super fair to him. But I will say that it seems to me like he prioritized finding a good fit and an opportunity where he'll have to break out. He was considered one of the best remaining, if not the top remaining wide receiver in the transfer portal still. I got to imagine he had some options, some bigger schools. I mean, shoot, if you look up his 247 recruiting profile from 2022, the schools that offered him, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, USC, pretty much every big-time program you can think of, they were on there. I really came down to, in the end, Michigan State, Texas, and Baylor. He, at one point, was verbally committed to the University of Texas and Steve Sarkisian. Obviously ended up signing with Baylor, was one of their highest-rated recruits that cycle, 4-star prospect, top 50 player coming out of Texas. I think on the Baylor site, they had him listed as the number 35 prospect to come out of Texas that cycle. But when I pulled it up, I think it said he was 47. Sometimes those lists update. That's a really deep group, though, when you look at some of the players that were in Texas that cycle. Harold Perkins, the star LSU linebacker. Denver Harris, the corner that went to Texas A&M. A lot of guys went to Texas A&M that cycle and got bags and then ultimately left or got kicked out. Ashton Gienti, Boise State running back, he's in there. To be top 50 in a group that includes that much talent, that says something. And I know if you just look at the stats, the last 2 years he played in 15 games, three games his freshman year, ultimately redshirted, so he'll come over with 3 years. I played in all 12 games last year, had 7 catches for 90 yards, 8 catches for 100 yards in his career. Best game was against Texas, funny enough, had 3 catches for like 43 yards. We'll play Texas for the second straight year. And what's funny is in a different world, since he was committed to Texas, he could have been playing against the Rams. Instead, he'll play against Texas for the second straight year. This is a guy, though, that has all of the tools that it takes to succeed. I mean, 6'2", 205 pounds, really, really good speed, especially over the top. I wouldn't say, you know, he's necessarily quite as quick, but he's fast. I mean, he's got long strides, and once he gets going, man, good luck. He's tough to bring down in the open field. Very, very explosive. He's got a nice catch radius. I mean, it's everything that you're looking for in a prospect. He's got NFL potential, I would say. You look at what he did at the high school level, a senior year, 66 catches for 1,006 yards and 8 touchdowns for Louisville. They went 11-2 that year. Love guys that come out of winning programs. Earned Under Armour All-American status. In his career, his high school career, had 191 catches, 2,678 yards, and 26 touchdowns. Guys that come from winning programs and guys that have legitimate production over a multi-year span, that's always a good sign. And I just keep coming back to his frame. You look at the size of the players that CSU has brought in at the skill position for 2024. Even, I mean, freshman running back Jalen Dupree is a unit. He's like 5'11", 220 or something like that. But, I mean, you look at 6'2", 205 pounds. You also bring in Donovan Ollie. He's 6'3". You bring in Jackson Warren at 6'7". They're going to be quite a bit bigger across the board on offense. I mean, Torrey Horton's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not small. Could certainly put on a little bit of muscle. Might help him stay healthy. But the other receivers, they're bigger. The O-line is bigger. More athletic, too. And I'd say the same thing about some of the skill position stuff. I mean, this is a really intriguing group. And now you just bring in another guy who at least has collegiate experience. He's been on the field, knows what it's like in terms of the practice process and all that. But he has an opportunity to come into a system where he's going to be a natural fit in the offense. Like I said, great speed over the top, so he's a vertical threat. But also, when you watch his huddle, there's a ton of bubble screens where if they get it set up and he's able to beat his man, you're not going to catch him from behind. And again, kind of coming back to the size thing, I mean, imagine if you're a 5'10" corner in the Mountain West, 180 pounds, and you're trying to get through a wall that includes like Donovan Ollie and Jackson Warren and potentially Armani Winfield blocking for Torrey Horton, or maybe you're throwing it to Winfield because, again, he's got great speed. It just gives you a lot of different options. Trying to take away Donovan Ollie and Torrey Horton and Armani Winfield and Jackson Warren and whoever's in the backfield, whether it's Justin Marshall or Henderson or whoever may be in the backfield at that time, that's a tall task, man, especially if the offensive line is holding up. And I think the offensive line should be solid again. As long as BFN's making good decisions, he's going to have a lot of different options to spread the ball around to. And that's a good thing, because like I've said 100 times now, they've got about 100 catches to make up for with no more Lewis Brown, Justice Ross Simmons, or Dallin Holker in the picture. You know, I don't say this to take shots at anybody that left or anything like that. I think Lewis Brown and Justice Ross Simmons are both guys that can be really good D1 wide receivers, number one wide receivers in their offense. But this is a good reminder that you don't always have to panic when moves like this happen. Losing those guys, was it a bummer? Yes, you've had them for 2 years. You've developed them. You know, you recruited them when bigger schools ignored them, and now those bigger schools come calling. I get it. That's just what the process is. But the reality is receivers are replaceable. And as long as you have guys like Chad Savage and Jay Norvell in this program, people are going to want to play for them. And I think you could make an argument that, you know, pound for pound, talent for talent, CSU might have upgraded between, you know, Ollie and Winfield versus LB and Ross Simmons. Truly, I hope it's not coming off as sour grapes. I wish those guys well on their journey. I'm rooting for them to have success, but it's just funny how that works out sometimes. I mean, you could say the same thing with CSU basketball last year. They were trying to get Cam Martin, and they recruited him multiple times, and he was going to come to CSU, and then he didn't really want to wait on if Isaiah Stevens was going to come back or not. I got a little bit more money from Boise, ultimately went there. Didn't really do much, you know, and we ended up getting Joel Scott as a result. All I'm saying is sometimes when you miss out on a guy or lose a player, it can open up a window for a different possibility. And occasionally that can work out really well for you. It can actually work out, you know, in your favor. Obviously, it's early. It's only May. There's a lot to be determined as of yet, but I really like this receiving core. I think at least on paper, you've got a nice mix of veteran presence and up-and-coming talent. I think you've got a nice mix of size and different guys. I mean, you've got Goffney, who I think you can use a little bit more in the slot and inside, and you've got three really big-bodied receivers. You've got a superstar in Horton, and some freshmen and sophomores that could be in line to break out as well. In terms of where CSU goes from here, what the next moves might be, I could see them looking to add another offensive lineman potentially just for depth's sake. I think you feel pretty good about that. My biggest concerns in terms of depth at the moment would probably be a corner would be one, and then defensive line. I just think they're an injury away from being in a pretty rough spot at both of those positions. I like Isaiah Sissama. I like Elias Larry. I think they did a good job of bringing some veterans in. But that's an instance, you know, like I said, sometimes sometimes you lose a guy and it all works out, and sometimes it really hurts you. You know, losing TJ Crandall to West Virginia was a big bummer. If you had him on top of the guys you brought in, I think you feel pretty good. But, you know, between losing Chiggy and Ron Harge and, you know, Guzman entered the portal, they've just lost a lot of guys that at the very least would have been, you know, two deep, three deep. They're just going to be counting on a lot of new faces is all. And maybe somebody like Dylan Phelps is a sophomore, redshirt freshman, is able to break out. Maybe somebody like Jalen Gardner. They really need a couple of guys to kind of have bounce back seasons. Aiden Hector would be one, especially. We'll see what happens, though. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about Nicola Jappa. Real quick, Jackson Stratton, by the way, former CSU QB, I saw online that he worked out with the Iowa QB coach. Hope he lands on his feet. Has not yet found his next destination. I do wonder maybe he has to go JUCO for a year, try and find a spot where he can play. But I'm rooting for him. I mean, he's got arm talent for sure. Seems like a really good kid. Real quick, trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA for generations. Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's just right for you, like the all-new 2024 Tacoma and the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruiser. Toyota offers 17 models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive like the Epic 4Runner. They also currently offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone, Toyota SUVs take command on the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. The last couple days have been rough here in Denver in terms of the NBA playoff experience, but there's nothing like being in the arena for those type of events, feeling the energy of the crowd, seeing those big moments. I was fortunate enough to get to go to a finals game this past year. One of the coolest experiences of my life. What's awesome is with Game Time, they are an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. If you're not into NBA, that's cool too, because they've got last minute deals. You can save up to 60% on all kinds of things, sports, concerts, comedy, theater, you name it, they've got it. They've got flash deals, they've got zone deals. They've got all-in pricing, so the price you see is the price that you get. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, let's keep the fun rolling here. It's been a really nice 24 hours to be a Ram. I broke the news that 7-foot forward Nicola Jappa is transferring from Long Island to CSU, averaged about 6.6 boards as a freshman, had 3 double-doubles though, and that's a tough spot at Long Island. I mean, 10 of his first 11 career games came in either true road settings, or there was like one or two neutral games. They have to play a ton of bye games just to support the program. This is a massive, massive addition for CSU, and not just because of his size. I teased it out on Twitter for about a day saying big news was coming. A couple of people were able to get the hint. A couple of people also tweeted being like, give me a hint, and the hint was in the tweet. But this is just a huge steal for the Rams. I'm shocked that Jappa was not more coveted by a high major, both going into his freshman year and this cycle. Feels like a guy that could have gotten, you know, $250,000 to play in the Big East or something like that. He's a unicorn out there. Listed at 7 foot, about 230. I've heard he's actually up over 240 now. In the picture, you can see he's got some muscle. He can do a little bit of everything. He's a confident jump shooter. He's a skilled passer. You can post him up with his back to the basket and have him be impactful that way. but he's really comfortable being out along the perimeter, which is important in this four out and five out system that, CSU is typically going to be in. I mean, if he develops well, he's a legitimate NBA prospect. And that's the difference between him and you know, some of these past guys that have had success. And I don't mean this as a shot at them by any means, because they were great Rams, but Joel Scott, Patrick Cartier worked their ass off. But their size limited them to an extent in certain matchups, and it's why they're not really being looked at as NBA prospects. Xhapa's got that skill set, you know, like Cartier can play at the top of the key. Honestly, going downhill is probably a lot more dangerous because he's more explosive and can dunk on you. My buddy Tyler Shannon quote tweeted me and compared him to Ryan Kalkbrenner of Creighton, which I think is not the worst comparison, especially just in terms of size and how lanky they are. Just physically, I think Xhapa is thicker. I think he's more explosive too, both on the drive and vertically. He kind of reminds me a little bit, just watching him in the way it looks on the court, of like a young Porzingis, confidently, you know, pulling up from three, but also willing to put it on the floor and, you know, drive on you, throw a one-handed dunk down. He'll post up if he needs to and, you know, hit that little baseline fadeaway. It's just a really rare combination of size, skill, and athleticism. I mean, shoot, don't get me wrong. If he ended up being anything like Kalkbrenner, that would be a huge win. He's a multiple-time defensive player of the year in the Big East All-Conference honors. He's a stud. I just think that there's something about Xhapa, especially if he, you know, can really grow on the defensive side. He's got quick feet. The ability to do it is there athletically. It's just going to be about adjusting to the speed of the game and all that. I think he could be dominant, like a truly dominant two-way player. It might take a little bit of time, and I want to make sure that I really emphasize that point. There's going to be a learning curve making the jump from the Northeastern Conference to the Mountain West, the level of competition that you're playing against, the level of athlete that you're playing against. It's going to be a lot different. That said, he's also got experience playing with the Serbian national team. And when you're going up against grown men, that's just so beneficial. He's actually going to be with the Serbian national team this summer, so he won't be in Fort Collins till July or August, I believe. Again, probably going to take some time to establish chemistry with his teammates. You know, don't expect him to come out and be a triple-double machine in game one or anything like that. Might be a good candidate potentially to accomplish the program's first ever triple-double in a game. Duke can pass the hell out of the ball, so he's going to have some opportunities. If he can rack up some assists in a game and guys are knocking down shots, you know he's going to be able to pull down boards. You know he's going to get some opportunities to score down low as well as out at the perimeter. It wouldn't be the worst bet if I had to bet on somebody to have the best odds to do it. Just be patient. That's all I want to preach to the fans. This is a guy whose ceiling is incredibly high. This is a huge, huge win for the program. I think under most circumstances, most guys with his size and skill set would be, you know, chasing a check or on a high major somewhere, but it really has worked out for CSU that he, more than anything, prioritized an opportunity to play and get development. And I think, you know, getting him in there with Shelton and stuff is going to be great for him. Just give the kid a chance to grow. That's all I'm saying. Have a little bit of patience. He's got 3 years left. Hopefully he's a guy that'll be in the program for multiple years. I mean, you look at the roster, I think 9 players are going to be underclassmen. So if you can keep the majority of that intact, while I do expect the Rams to be a good team this year, they could be a really good team in 2 years. And I mean, the team ceiling this year will be somewhat also dependent on, does Neat come back? If he comes back, all of a sudden you feel like a contender with the talent that you've added. Even so, you should very firmly be in the mix. I'll give a couple of thoughts here on Neek. We've talked about this quite a bit, but this roster is better than when he made the decision, so we'll talk about that. I did want to shout out the homies over at Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew has been with us since the beginning. They are our oldest partner, I believe, at least for me on the Rams pod side, they certainly are. Check out their new West Coast style IPA, Ridge Runner. This double dry hopped brew is inspired by the untamed beauty of Colorado trails. Hop back infused with whole cone hops and a double dose of Citra lupulin powder creates notes of bright citrus and pine. Breckenridge is the official craft beer of DNVR. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. I also want to talk to you guys about DNVR events. You can check that out at thednvr.com. We've got all kinds of fun stuff coming up. We're road tripping to New Orleans for the Broncos this year. We're doing a Rockies takeover in a suite for a game against the Phillies on May 26th. That's a 1:10 p.m. game. Takeovers include pregame at DNVR, a party bus ride to Coors Field, free Breck brews on the bus, by the way, tickets to the Rockies Phillies in the suite, unlimited food and non-alcoholic beverages throughout the game. You'll get a bus ride back to the bar as well. There are very limited tickets, so get yours today on the events page at thednvr.com. All right, before we get out of here, I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts on the Neek situation as well as just kind of what the starting five could be, what that mix is going to look like. I've already been asked multiple times. I'll go ahead and say right now, way too early to determine it, especially given the amount of talent that the staff has been able to bring in. That's a good thing. That means there's no charity minutes to be handed out. That means nobody is going to be guaranteed a starting role just based on status or tenure or anything like that. I mean, the minutes are going to be earned. And for the position that we're in as a program, that's the way that it needs to be. CSU is no longer the cute little up-and-comer, you know, a fun story. This is, you know, Medved has been here for 7 years at this point, and you know, they've invested in basketball in a major way. The expectation is going to be in that mix with the San Diego States and, you know, the New Mexicos of the world on a year-to-year basis. And that means you really got to push everyone. As of now, you have 12 of your 13 scholarships accounted for, 13 if you count Neek. I've said pretty consistently over the last couple weeks that my gut feeling is that he will go pro. From what I've heard, a lot of the feedback he's gotten so far has not been stellar. I imagine some of the stuff I pointed out just in terms of his handle and inconsistent shooting and whatnot. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, Roddy didn't get killer feedback early on in the process either. And he obviously ended up being a first round pick. So really, it's going to come down to the combine in terms of where Neek will make or break his chances of getting drafted. Even if he doesn't kill it, I think at the very least he would be a second round pick in a class that doesn't feel very deep. And that's why my gut is that he will go. I've also heard that he's kind of just tired and ready to move on from school at this point. And I can't blame him. I was the same way by the time I was almost done. I was already working in my field and it feels kind of useless at that point. You're just ready to move on and get on with your life. I truly do get all of that. That's an easier sell with guys that don't want to come back to school for football because you only have to do one semester with hoops. You've got to do basically an entire semester before you even get to play games. You know, that's a tough sell sometimes. It's a tough call. He could obviously come back and star out and star and ball out, kind of combine those terms there. And, you know, maybe be in the mix for Mountain West Player of the Year. And at that point, you probably have a good chance to go in the first round next year. There's a lot more guaranteed money if that's the case. He's going to have to decide what kind of risk he's comfortable with, whether he's willing to just take a pro opportunity now, like in the G League. I mean, we could probably get him as much NIL money as he would make in the G League, and then you're riding the buses in Fort Wayne, Indiana and whatnot. Or I don't know. We'll just have to see. I'm not going to hold my breath, but this roster is a lot better than when he declared. This is certainly a more appealing team than what Isaiah or David had to come back to. I think it would be a really smart decision for him to play another year and really refine his game and put himself in a position to be a first round pick next year, basically guarantee that, I guess. But we'll see in terms of who the starting five will be. If Neek is back, obviously he would be a lock to start. Right now, I don't know if there are any locks. Honestly, like the last time we talked about this, I said, if you put a knife to my back, maybe it would be Bemba, but I don't even know if that's the case anymore. When you bring in a true five like Xhapa, You also bring in Crocker Johnson, and you know there could be some lineups where you have Morton in the mix at the 3-4. I mean, the battle for playing time in the front court and in the back court is going to be intense. And again, I think that's good for the program. I mean, sometimes people's feelings can get hurt, but I mean, the truth is you can't not bring in a talented veteran because you're worried about how, you know, it might impact a younger player and you know, cause them to want to transfer. Because the reality is, if you ball out and play really well, you might get poached too. Like, you just got to try and put yourself in the best position to win. And the guys that earn their roles are ultimately going to be out there. Now, at point guard, whether it's Bowen Bourne or Kyan Evans starting, I can say pretty confidently, both those guys are going to play important roles and play a ton. I don't think you can do a ton of lineups with both of them on the floor at the same time, just because you'd be pretty small at that point. But maybe you can now that you have a true 7-footer. It's interesting. I mean, then, like, what do you do at the 2, you know, and 3? Like, Jalen Lake is going to be in the mix. So is Kashawn Williams. I think those would be two guys that have a good chance to play the 2 and the 3, depending on how big you're going. But, you know, again, is Morton on the floor? Is he a 3? Is he a 4? I have the same question about Crocker Johnson, who's listed at 6'8 and is a beefy guy. But honestly, I think he's closer to 6'6. They're going to have some flexibility. And I'm really intrigued to see how this pans out. I mean, one thing I can say for sure is guys that defend at a high level are going to have an opportunity to compete. And that's why, even though his offensive numbers have been brutal these last couple of years, Ethan Morton is a guy that I really think is going to play an important role for CSU, like play more than 20 minutes a night, because he's going to be one of the top, if not the top, one-on-one defender on the team. He's a great passer. He has experience feeding the post, which now you got a true 7-footer. Having that skill is huge. He's got good length, so he can, you know, rebound. And he can impact the floor positively without scoring. If he scores at all, it's just a win. The battle for minutes is going to be something to behold this fall, especially like the 2, 3, and 4. You've just got so many options, because whether it's Bowen Bourne or whether it's Kyan Evans, you know, both those guys are going to play. I think, realistically, you know, it's probably less of an Isaiah Stevens situation where you have somebody playing like 38 minutes a night and maybe, you know, you have them both in the high 20s or something like that. But I mean, then Jalen Lake and Kashawn Williams, how does that play out at the 2? You got Slater, the freshman, coming in as well. Between the 3 and the 4, how does that shake out with Crocker Johnson, Morton, Bemba? And then the freshman, you're hearing good things about Mekinen and Jaden Stepp too. Then obviously at the 5, you've got Joppa and you're bringing in Jorgensen. It's going to be fun to see how this all plays out. I'm really intrigued. So it's been an awesome day. I'm going to get some different perspectives on the pod this week. We'll get Kevin Lytle on the pod. I've been talking with Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated, so I think we'll get him on as well. One of the great basketball minds on the national level. But shout out to all you. I appreciate you for supporting the content. Always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
With the cuff khakis, wearing graphic tees, feeling way too trendy. Raps that kill, oh, I'm deadly. Primed and ready like machetes at a deli in New Delhi. Feeling scummy like Martin Scorsese. Turn jam into jelly, then drink it like juice. But water's the truth, so I sip on that too. Skinny looking kid with no car keys, like the only thing I drive is RC RVs. Got the stash like Steve Harvey. Oh, I'm gnarly.